This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
3 months after a week-long strike in November, the Canadian National Railroad again is being disrupted. This time, Native Indigenous protesters are blockading CN Rail across the country, with primary blockades in and around Native lands in British Columbia, Manitoba, and southern Ontario. CN operates the main Canada rail line running east-west, a vital carrier for goods, especially in the winter months. The rail line is also the main western farm commodity carrier to coastal ports for export. Todd Harms, the chairman of the Alberta Grain Commission, says farmers across Canada are once again being threatened by rail service disruption.
We export roughly just over 80% of our product. So export is our livelihood. If we can't get our product to port, we don't get paid, we can't make a living. So it's becoming dire again.
Brent Moen, the president of Alberta Pork, says that because Canada's ag industry is so export-oriented, whether it's another railway disruption, a trade issue, or a social issue, Canadian farmers seem to take the hit.
So no matter what anybody's problem is, no matter what the trade issue, no matter what the disease that might arrive anywhere, the farmer in our country pretty much pays the burden for it.
The issue is complex, but it revolves around the Wet'suwet'en tribal land sovereignty in west-central British Columbia and a coastal gas link pipeline project across the Wet'suwet'en territory. That territory was never ceded to the Government of Canada, and no land treaty was ever established. Hereditary chiefs say the decision to approve a pipeline in their ancestral lands without consent is an infringement of their Aboriginal title rights. Those title and rights are protected under the Canadian Constitution. Ironically, elected chiefs and band councils from about 20 individual First Nations, including the Wet'suwet'en tribe, have agreements with the Coastal GasLink consenting to the project. But the hereditary chiefs have gained support from some tribal members over elected bound council agreements. But the RCMP began moving into Wet'suwet'en territory late last week, arresting some protesters. Now groups in various provinces are blockading Canadian National Railroad lines in solidarity with grassroots Wet'suwet'en protesters. Perry Belgrade is the national chief of the Assembly of First Nations. He says the First Nation protest has been coming for a while, and what's happening on Wet'suwet'en territory is highlighting the difference between the First Nations law and Canadian law.
It's not Wet'suwet'en law that's being recognized and followed. And that's the issue here. You've got the Indian Act chiefs that have jurisdiction on the reserve lands, and they've done their due diligence. But in the ancestral territory lands of the Wet'suwet'en people, it's hereditary chiefs and their clans and their big houses that have the jurisdiction. There's this thing called the Indian Act that put the two-year elective system in place. That's what we have to move beyond. And we have our own lands, languages, laws, people, government. You're not going to achieve reconciliation when you criminalize political activism.
Again, that was Perry Belgrade, the National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations up in Canada. Moving on into other ag news from around the country, a Reuters report says the mad cow disease outbreak in the 1990s will likely keep the European Union from easing its strict rules on food safety. That caution will likely continue even though President Trump is threatening to slap tariffs on car imports from the European Union if the countries do not start importing more U.S. farm products. And we'll continue on into state and local ag news following these messages.
The weather, market conditions, sudden illness, these things may be out of your control, but you can control how they affect your farm. At Country Financial, our crop health coverage, fueled by GrainGuard, includes Good Samaritan, stored grain, and tornado coverage at no additional cost. Take simple steps to protect the future of your farm. Visit countrycrop.com today or call Wayne Schaefer at 498-5800.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company in Bloomington, Illinois. Subject to policy terms and conditions. Not available in all states.
M&M Service Company would like to take this opportunity to say thank you to their customers for their continued patronage over the years. Their customers are the foundation of their success, and without them, M&M wouldn't be where they are today. They are truly grateful for your trust in their company and look forward to serving your agricultural needs for many years to come. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Have you had your eye on a new Caterpillar machine? We have great news. Macoupin County Farm Bureau members can save up to $5,000 on the purchase or lease of eligible Cat machines, including wheel loaders, small and medium dozers, backhoe loaders, excavators, and more. Members also receive an additional $250 credit on work tool attachments purchased with new Cat machines. Not a Farm Bureau member? Call 217-854-2571 and join today.
And we're back here on your Afternoon Ag Show, moving into State Ag News. Cattlemen interested in buying a performance-tested bull should attend the Illinois Performance-Tested Bull Sale at 11 on February 20th, next Thursday, at the Livestock Center at the State Fairgrounds in Springfield. Of the 56 bulls, 24 are long-age 2018 mature bulls and 32 are yearlings. Available breeds include 29 Angus, 19 Simmental and Sim Angus, and 8 are polled Hereford. This marks the 52nd annual sale, with 4,700 bulls valued at over $8.8 million sold over the last 50 years, according to Travis Mateer, the IPT Bull Sale Manager. The Illinois Department of Agriculture is set to usher in yet another Illinois Products Expo. Aaron Cleary has this report.
So the Illinois Products Expo is over 50 vendors who produce their products and have them packaged in Illinois, and they all get together. Just it's a big agriculture event. It's a tasting event. It's also a come-and-see Illinois agriculture event. You get free samples of the different vendors. You can buy their products if you would like. There's just so much to do there, and there's so many awesome, awesome companies to sample. A lot of the new companies this year are pretty exciting because some are non-food related. And this one, she makes earrings out of the inside of a blown bicycle tube. She works with the Illinois Bicycle Company here. And they recycle all their blown out tubes, and she takes them and paints them and makes her earrings out of them. And they're really cool.
The department's Aaron Cleary, again, that says that the 2020 event will be this March 7th and 8th up at the Orr Building on the State Fairgrounds, Springfield. Another significant snowfall fell across parts of Illinois. Chris Miller with the National Weather Service in Lincoln says don't let the snow fool you. Temperatures should moderate and even some days be above normal next week.
When we look even farther out into the future, we're looking at that 8 to 14-day outlook into the getting closer to the middle of February. Again, very similar situation. A little bit above normal temperatures on the wetter side, particularly in the southern half of Illinois. Cold air staying bottled up in Canada and the northern Rockies area. And then beyond that, if we look at the rest of the month, we just don't see that pattern breaking, where, again, the cold air stays bottled up to our northwest. We get this kind of a west to southwesterly wind flow primarily. Temperatures really not too far from seasonal normals, or a little bit warmer than what we typically would see, 40s, and kind of on and off wet, that mixed, snow to rain, back to snow, back to rain. That's what we're really looking at for much of February here. It just doesn't look like that polar vortex is really going to weaken at all for us to get into the real cold air, which, good news for a lot of people that don't want to, spend a lot of time in the very cold, cold conditions.
And again, that was Chris Miller with the National Weather Service office in Lincoln. And that'll wrap up today's edition of the Noon Ag Show. But remember, if you have ag news for us, you can email that to us at WSMI@WSMIradio.com. So again, for this Valentine's Day edition of the Ag Show, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.